Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. The book of the Acts. Chapter 16. Acts 16 and verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And at the end of the chapter, verse 40, And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Then in chapter 20, chapter 20 and verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood, with the blood of his own. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And then lastly, at the end of Colossians, chapter 4 of Colossians, and just one verse, 15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. In Matthew's Gospel, we have this parable that the Lord told of the man. The man which sowed good seed in his field. This is an allusion to the kingdom of heaven. Now, I know that the kingdom of heaven is not an exact parallel with the church, but there are many similarities to its scope. And we were told that what was sown was good seed. Well, we know what the good seed is. The parable of the sower tells us that the good seed is the word of God. And we know that it was sown in four varying types of soil. And so it's the truth of the gospel, the word of God. And this is surely a picture of the Lord's work in spreading the truth. But it says, while men slept, his enemy, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Now, if you read Mr. Darby's translation, the tares are described as darnel. And darnel is a seed that's almost indistinguishable from the grain that one sows. It's poisonous. And if it's left and ground up with the grain, it can affect, depends how much there is of it. Now, this, of course, is the scheme of the enemy, to sow deliberately what resembles the truth. If things come in which are clearly very different from the things of God, then we're at once alerted to it. But what I want to remind us of is the fact that God was not taken by surprise. The Lord himself spoke this parable. He knew it all along, that the enemy, who has been at work from the very beginning, would have this in view. If we want to have a New Testament look at the matter, a matter directly linked with the church, of course, we can look at Acts chapter 20, which we have done. And there, Paul, speaking directly of assembly matters, he called the elders to Ephesus, and he takes up this matter, which no doubt was on his heart. He had in view the end of his testimony here. A few chapters later, we would read of what happened to Paul in the last years of his life. And here he has a love and a concern for the Lord's own. But he has this warning: take heed therefore among yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves entering among you, not sparing the flock. I'm sure we can think of this as along the lines of those tares, those darnel seeds that the enemy sows, grievous wolves coming in with a wicked intent, not sparing the flock. But then the next verse is even more solemn, because it's of a different character. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. And so, beloved, we're living in days no longer here at the early part of the history of the church on earth, but I don't suppose any of us would deny that we're living in end times, in the last days, a day of small things. But what I want to draw our minds to is that God was not taken by surprise. He knew from the beginning how things would be. And at the very beginning, the remedy was given. And we might wonder how soon after the start of things in all its pristine condition, all the happy fellowship that we read of in the early days of Acts, how soon was it after that that departure set in, that this external influence, this external, the enemy's work, how soon was it? Well, sadly, it was very soon. We only have to read, don't we, the first of the seven letters to the churches to be reminded how soon those dear believers at Ephesus, with all their wonderful truth that the epistle to the Ephesians contains, how the Lord could say of them, "You've left your first love." Left your first love. Well, we've enjoyed our time together. We've been cheered and encouraged, sustained in our fellowship together. And those of us who are a little older might remember years past when the room was fuller. There were very able brothers who could help us. And I suppose it's a sign of our age that we tend to look back and we regret the decline. We sorrow over the loss of so much. But the Lord had all this in view, and he had at the very beginning the remedy for it. And have we not had this before us in the epistle to the Hebrews, the constant pointing to the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, looking to him and to be encouraged by his presence and his help? And I think it's a very wonderful touch that the apostle takes up. He had here, he called together the elders. Now we might expect, might we not, for Paul to commit the matter into the elders' hands, into some sort of responsible committee. Or to, maybe he might have set up some special oversight to ensure that these grievous wolves were kept out. But no. What was the remedy? A warning? Yes, therefore watch and remember. But he reminded them, "I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." See the beloved apostles' devotion and affection for the Lord's own. But this is his remedy. "Now, brethren, I commend you to God." Commend you to God. "And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." So when we look around us and we see how much inroads these tares have made, this darnel seed, the poison of anything that robs Christ of his due, we weep, don't we? We mourn at the departure and the decline. But God hasn't been taken unawares. And we should be encouraged that we have still the remedy that Paul took up to these beloved elders at Ephesus. We have God, we have his presence, and we have the word of his grace. And that's a real blessing that we've been able to consider the things of God, the one who loved us so much that he gave us his own beloved son, to take up the word of his grace. What grace we receive, don't we, when we take up the things of the Lord. Well, I read two in Acts of this dear woman Lydia. And I wanted to just remind us of this, because here she was. Just find the... A seller of purple, the city of Thyatira. We know what went on at Thyatira in Revelation. We know how things develop. But here at the beginning of the assembly's formation of earth on earth, we have a godly woman, one which worshipped God. And when she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. It's wonderful, isn't it, that we have still the Lord, the same Lord that opened the heart of Lydia, is at work today. And I want just to encourage us, in all the sense of our weakness and failure, we often, I think, look around at ourselves and we conclude that we're marked by a great lack and we're marked by failure. But the Lord hasn't failed. There's no lack in the Lord. And this same, the Lord can open the hearts of any today, as he did this dear woman whose heart the Lord opened. And it had an effect in her life and in her household. And we read, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And then at the end of the chapter, what do we find? When they went out of prison, they entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. What a very happy scene we see at the beginning of the church's existence. Just one woman, her household, her home open to the saints, and we find there that the apostle had seen the brethren. Well, you know, that's how things are now, isn't it? We've got to the point where many of us are meeting in homes, and we find it in the end of Colossians as well. This brother Nymphas and the church which is in his house. And I suggest that rather than be downhearted and looking back to what we might consider better times, that actually we take comfort from looking at how things were in the beginning. If the Lord was pleased to work in the heart of that dear sister Lydia and to establish a little meeting there in her house and here in this brother's house, the church which is in his house. Have we not the same Lord? Is he not still able to open the hearts of one or two? Well, I'm sure he is and he does. And so we might just be encouraged to look on and look up, to take comfort from the fact that the Lord knows the end from the beginning and he's not left us without a resource. We have him, we have God, we have the word of his grace. We still have liberty in this land. We can still meet in our homes. Thankfully, it's not got right down to that yet, and we should be thankful for our meeting rooms and the opportunity to meet together in larger numbers. But let's not despise even the twos and the threes, those of us who are meeting in small conditions. The same Lord, the same God, the same word of his grace. And we've had the warnings about various diverse doctrines which will carry us off. Well, that's the work of the enemy. But the Lord isn't taken by surprise. He's given us the remedy, and I feel we've had something of it this week when our eyes have been turned to the Lord Jesus and to his things, and we've been left with many let us, many exhortations, and we might go away from our time together with those happy words ringing in our ears. But let us seek to be faithful to the Lord, to be a testimony in our homes, in our houses, in our little meetings, and let us be able and willing to give an account of the hope that is in us, because we may meet a Lydia, we may meet a Nymphas, and just a word of the gospel, a word of testimony, and we leave the rest to the Lord. The Lord can open their hearts, and how happy it would be if a little company is formed as a result. So there's much to encourage us if we look on and up to the Lord, and may we be helped to consider what we've had before us, especially the exhortations to look to the Lord himself, that same blessed Lord who gave himself for us, for his name's sake.